And this term has been looked at, as we look at Jesus, this term, we've been looking at how our focus is always to be 100% upon Jesus. And as we look at Jesus' ministry, we cannot go through the whole of the gospel to actually amplify just what Jesus did in his ministry. We can't go through all of it. It would take far too long. But there are some amazing things that he did in the Gospels. Now, the amazing thing is that all of the things that you read about in the Gospel about Jesus, this is what one of the Gospel writers said. He said, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that were written." Now that is an amazing thing, because what John is saying at the end of his biographical account and theological account of Jesus, he's saying, you know, you've only got the tip of the iceberg of what Jesus did and said. Because if you think that's all that he did and said in 3 years' time, you could do it in about a week. You know, I mean, you didn't need 3 years. You could do all of that in about a week if you were the Son of God. But he didn't do it all in a week. He did so much more than we could ever imagine. And some of the healings that he did were healings of things, I believe, that are not mentioned here, but cover a multiplicity of conditions that people would have had. So John is saying, I've only given you the tip of the iceberg. Use your imagination. Now, many people have said all kinds of things about Jesus. They've said that he's just a normal man who was inspired, but he wasn't God. Some have said, well, there are other religious teachers just as good as Jesus. I've yet to find one, right enough. And all kinds of manner of things have been said of Jesus. But there's been quite a number of things said about Jesus by those who do not believe, as I do or you may do, that Jesus is the Son of God. Let me give you an example for one. How many of you have heard of H.G. Wells? Now, H.G. Wells was not a Christian, but this is what H.G. Wells, the famous historian, once said. "I must confess, as a historian, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all history." That was said by H.G. Wells, not a follower of Jesus Christ. But he recognized something in this person that is different, quite different from anybody else who ever lived. Here is what someone else said. I wonder if you know by the time I get to the end who it was that said this. He said this, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is not mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, and myself founded empires." You there yet? You're guessing? Okay. "But what foundation did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded an empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men and women would die for him. Napoleon, Bonaparte, French general, politician, and emperor said that of Jesus Christ." Not only that, but some other, one of the greatest historians of Great Britain, a William Lecky, said this of Jesus. "The simple record of these 3 short years of Jesus' active life ministry has done more to regenerate and soften mankind than all the disquisitions of philosophers and all the exhortations of moralists. And it is true today. Jesus stands head above every single human being who has ever lived. It's because he is indeed the divine, the one and only Son of God, who was born of a virgin, not by natural birth. He was born of a virgin. He was not born of man. Let me not go into the details. He was born of God. And he grew up and had ministry among us. He showed and he delivered and he communicated what God was like. And men didn't like him. Men don't like the truth. Men, in the generic term, includes you women as well. They don't like the truth. And when they get the truth, they must fight it and crush it with all their might, and they must ridicule it and twist it so that their lie sounds so palatable. Well, there were two main aspects of Jesus' ministry. I don't mean all of it, but two main aspects: his words and his works. Or if I can put it another way, his teachings and his miracles. This is what some of the descriptions of his teaching came from people who encountered it. They talked about authority, about wisdom, about amazement, about astonishment. These are the things people described when they listened to Jesus. They had listened to the teachers of their day, the Pharisees, and they said, no one speaks with such authority, has such wisdom. No one amazes us or astonishes us like Jesus. And if I asked you, what is the teaching that almost invariably all throughout history has been held as an epic example of wisdom literature that comes from Jesus? It's almost invariably quoted by atheists and agnostics and unbelievers alike. What is that teaching? You could say, well, it's the Bible. Well, of course it is. It's the Gospels, yes. But the teaching is the Sermon on the Mount. It is regarded as the greatest wisdom literature in the world by believers and unbelievers alike. When they say, turn the other cheek when somebody hits you. If somebody insults you, forgive them. If they say that nasty word that upset you, then forgive them. Love your enemies. Pray for those who hate you. Walk the other mile. Jesus, all of it in the teachings of Jesus, and is held up as one of the most greatest wisdom literature of all time. Why? Because these are divine words of God. Here is what a Jew said of Jesus. A Jewish author, Sholem Ash. I'm sorry if I got it wrong. He died in 1957. And this is what he said. Jesus Christ is to me the outstanding personality of all time, all history, both as Son of God and as Son of Man. Everything he ever said or did has value for us today. And that is something you can say of no other man, dead or alive. There is no easy middle ground to stroll upon. You either accept Jesus or reject Jesus. And that's the challenge for you today. Do you accept Jesus as the Son of God or do you reject him? You and I reject him when we reject his teaching, when we will not follow what he said we do, when our character and our words and our nature are not in line with that of Jesus. To accept Jesus is to accept his teaching with authority. But the second thing, the miracles of Jesus. All through the Bible, we see these miracles performed by Jesus. And let me give you just a few headings. These were called by John signs and wonders. He doesn't use the word miracle. He uses the word signs and wonders. It's a sign that makes you wonder what's going on and points you to God. We read one last week in the wedding of Cana in Galilee, where he turned water into wine. And John says this was the first sign to reveal himself as God to the disciples. You remember the woman who spent all her money on doctors but was not healed. And she touched the hem of his garment and was healed. It was a sign of the power and supernatural power of Jesus Christ himself. You see, how is the word miracle defined in the Bible? The miracle word miracle is defined as God's divine and supernatural intervention. Now, I don't know if any of you ever experienced God's divine and supernatural intervention. Now, if you want to be brave and put your hand up, you can, but I won't come down and ask you what the intervention was. But has anybody ever, I've got one over there, well that's good there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, okay, go on. People who have experienced miracle. And I often say to myself, although I've experienced that as well, I say to people, it may have not happened to you, and my heart breaks for that, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. It is happening. And I used to say that of God. Some of you may know that in my left ear, I am totally now deaf. And I used to pray every day, God, heal my ear, heal my ear. And I thought, he doesn't heal ears. And then I met somebody who had his ears healed in a meeting in, it was New Wine in Somerset. And he got his healed. A word of knowledge went up. And this guy went, you know, God is healing ears. And I went, hallelujah. So if just pray for the guy who puts his hands up and his one seat. And this lovely older couple prayed, prayed for my healing. And I didn't get healed of my ear. But the guy in front of me, he got healed of his ear. His hearing loss. And I went, It's not fair. But the thing about it was, for whatever reason God didn't heal me, it didn't mean he wasn't healing. He was healing. He heals. Signs and the wonders. She touched the hem of his garment. When the Bible said that it's only, the Gospels only record the tip of the iceberg of all the healings that Jesus did. Well, you will know that there are 35 miracles recorded during the 3 years of his ministry. 35, but he did many more than that has been recorded to reveal and confirm the presence of and revelation of God. Now, I know many of you are seeking a healing. I know many of you are seeking a miracle. And I know how your heart feels when you do that. I'm with you. I'm with you now. I know how disappointed you would feel, because I felt disappointed. But I know sometimes, and this isn't for you, honestly, this is for me. So if you've got my condition, don't say that God is saying the same thing to the condition you have that I have that he said to me, don't. This is what he said to me, and I don't even know if I should say it, but anyway, I'm going to say it. He said to me, because I sought this healing for my ear, and he says, Ian, I've got other things I need to heal you of. It's more important than your hearing. But I said, but God, this is the most important thing to me. I know it is, but it's not for me. And he did something else. It blew me out of my seat. And I thought, okay, I get it, God, I get it. He's all wise. He loves you. He loves you. Even though a physical healing might not come, there are so much things, so much more things that God can and does do. And he does it there. It says here that there was a time when Jesus couldn't heal because in a city there was people who didn't believe in him. Jesus performed miracles so that people might believe in him. But in some situations, Jesus did not perform a miracle because he knew they would not believe. Their hearts would not be receptive, even with a miracle. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Matthew 13 says that. He says that. So there are occasions, and it's a mystery. And what I want to declare to you today is that Jesus is the most important person in the whole of history has ever lived. He loves us and cares for us. I believe that miracles and more miracles are going to be released into our midst and church and atmosphere. I believe these signs of miracles, the people who put up their hands, are just a little, if you could, it's a primer for the more that he's going to do. He's going to do more. I see it in my mind's eye that Jesus is going to do more. Do I mean that the lame and the blind are all going to be walking into West Hill and we're going to heal them all? No, I don't. But I believe that God's power is going to be released in a greater measure upon us. And you say, oh, I don't know that. Oh, that's scary. No, it's not scary. It's not scary. God is not scary. It's the other guy that's scary. Not God. Somebody scares you. It's not God. It's the other guy. But God is going to release so many blessings upon you. And I would say to you, keep pressing in. Keep praying. Keep asking God. Because even in the pressing in and the praying and the asking of God, you change inside. You become closer to God in that holy desperation. Seek me and you will find me. But Jesus is our King. Jesus is our healer. I want you to go through this week believing that you are trusting in. Don't trust in people and institutions and men and the worldly wisdom. That will not do you any good. This Jesus who is alive today, that's my King.
The Bible says my King is a King of the Jews. He's a King of Israel. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah, that's my king. That's my king.
Yeah, that's great. We've heard it before. I think there's another guy sitting with a yellow t-shirt at the back. He likes that one as well, because he showed it earlier too. And that is our king.